Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable our Alexa skill or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. And talking about Game 3, looking ahead to Game 4 in the series between the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. And to help us do that, we bring in our good friend Hal Gill, brought to you each week by Dunkin' Donuts. Gilzy, what's going on, man?
Not much, guys. Just getting my morning coffee and sorting out what's going on in the NHL and trying to keep up with all this madness.
It has been madness. I mean, we've got 2-12 seeds, Montreal leading Pittsburgh in the series, or Chicago leading Edmonton in the series. It's been a crazy playoff so far, Hal.
Yeah, a crazy game last night. I'm just trying to – I couldn't stay up that late. These are long days when you have a 1:30 game. But, yeah, it seems like every time I turn around, I'm watching a hockey game. But, yeah, some crazy hockey. I didn't see the Blackhawks being up 2-1. I didn't see the Preds being down 2-1 either. So, the Canadians up 2-1 over the Penguins. This is madness.
Hal, you brought up the Predators there, and obviously Game 3 yesterday didn't go the way they wanted it to go. I thought from an execution standpoint, first 40, 45 minutes of that game went about as well as you could have asked for the Predators. Darcy Kuemper played out of his mind. What did you take away from Game 3 and then what unfolded in the third period?
Yeah, it was tough. If I'm on the Preds, you're scratching your head and going, all right, what do we have to do? It comes down to, and this is the hard part about the playoffs, is, you can ride through the regular season and play as well as the Preds did and, finish top two in your division. I really feel like they played that well. But in the playoffs, you have to win games. You have to win them not down the stretch. You can't just stick to the process and hope that you get wins. You got to change the narrative somehow. And so sometimes that means going out of your comfort box a little bit and maybe pushing and shoving, get into Kemper's kitchen and give him a jab, run him over, do whatever it takes to find a way to score goals, because they were doing everything right. They had shots, they had scoring chances. I feel like as the third period went on, they were squeezing their sticks a little bit, overthinking it. Sometimes you just got to simplify it and play a little bit more aggressive and a little harder as you're setting your edge towards the goal and play with a little more jam in your game. So I think they did everything right, but they got to find a way to turn it up a notch, because the Coyotes, they play that game. They kind of a rope-a-dope, and they wait for a high-skill play like Connor Garland. That was a beautiful goal he scored and a nice setup from Stefan. And then you're looking at it going, oof, after the Turris goal gets wiped out, it's a tough pill to swallow. You got to find a way to power through those moments, though.
Yeah, you brought up the Garland goal there. I wanted to ask you that. Is, if we have an imaginary telestrator here, what, from your perspective, happened on that play and what should have happened on that play? Obviously, he made a great play, the toe drag, but before that, it looked like there was some confusion in the defensive zone.
Yeah, you have – well, it's – all right, so let's go with our telestrator. Stepan's coming down the wing. You keep him to the outside. It's really only one guy on the rush. So you keep him to the outside, turn him back. You should turn him back, and a forward should be there to take away any plays to the middle, and the D can close the gap. Stepan did a nice little button hook, goes up the wall, and finds Garland coming in with a ton of speed. But, Matthias Ekholm is right there on him. They have back checkers coming. And this is the moment that is hard for hockey fans to swallow, is he made a great play. He gets that pass, as Garland does, and pulls it a long toe drag around the stick of Ekholm. And then what's impressive to me, and if you've never been on skates and you've never tried to pull the puck into your skates and take a shot at that angle, it's not easy. He's got all his momentum going one way, and he's able to get a hard shot from inside of his skates and put it far post, inside the post, perfectly placed about 18 inches over Saros' pad under the glove. It is a remarkable play, and you got to tip your hat to him. Could you have done things differently? Yeah, you could have come back and maybe, you know, the defenseman closes the gap quicker on Stepan. I think that was Fabbro, but I feel like he played that well. And Grimaldi can come back towards the middle and take away that pass, but I think he was trying to close space on Stepan. So the back checker is coming back through the middle. Yeah, can they cover Garland and help out a little bit more? Yeah, but they're in position to watch for the next guy coming into the play and leaving it to Ekholm. Ekholm makes a nice play. You're not expecting a guy to be able to toe drag it that far and get a shot off in his skates. And so Ekholm got fooled a little bit there. I don't know if anything gets played differently, but you know, the play was made and it was a beautiful play, and that happens in the playoffs. That's what the Preds need, is they need someone to go down and make that exceptional play on the other end. And Turris did that, and it was negated by an offsides, and you can blame DeShane all you want, but he's trying as hard as he can to get involved in that play, because if it's not Turris scoring the goal, he wants to be the guy that scores the goal. So it's a tough sequence that they went through, but I feel like if they play the right way and keep doing the right things, the hockey gods will come around and straighten everything up.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. And Hal, you bring up the play by DeShane, and I kind of look at it two ways of, you know, yeah, you look at it and you heard John Hines talk about it after the game. That's a detail you can't have. I understand that. I agree with that. And I think to a certain degree that played a part in what happened after that. But also, if you've been watching hockey for any length of time, traditionally, if it goes uncalled like that, it just is what it is, and you move on. But now that you have this review that's basically put in place to go back and eliminate these offsides plays that are just egregious, now we're looking at every minor detail of these offside plays, and that one had absolutely no impact on that goal being scored whatsoever. So I think both things can be true at the same time. Yes, you want more detail and attention to detail from DeShane. Also, I don't think this is what the rule the NHL put into place is designed to do, is for these little ticky-tack offside plays.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, though, right? And DeShane was right on, you know, the reason that was put in is because DeShane blew through the neutral zone. It was a good 6 feet offside, and yep. You say, that can't happen anymore. Guys, we got to put in replay, and then you put in replay, and you get all the little, you know, one inch here, one inch there, and yeah, it shouldn't matter, but every player on the ice knows that what offside is, and you can't be offside. that's the tough part of it, is DeShane was offside. And you can look at it a million different ways and try to say, okay, it didn't matter. But what if DeShane was the one who got that drop pass from Yossi and scored the goal? Would you say he got an edge that he shouldn't have had? Well, it's a game of inches, right? Any given Sunday, it's a game of inches. And these inches are all around us, and you got to make sure you cover your inches.
So, Hal, you got the offsides, you got the, you know, the goal, and then the Craig Smith penalty. So obviously some big mistakes, but still a performance by a team that was overall pretty dominating, especially I think early. You know, the first 12 shots of the game, Darcy Kuemper really stepped up in this game. When you look at the overall performance, taking all that into account, if you're John Hines, would you consider any kind of switching or swapping, whether it be lines or, I guess, in goal, even though I think Saros was really good yesterday? I mean, is it one of those things where maybe something like that might be good psychologically to say we're going to switch something up, or would you just stick with what you've been doing?
Yeah, his job, he's going to second guess and rethink and retool. He's going to consider the heck out of it. But I don't know what the right call is. You say, okay, let's put this guy in and he'll give us a little more on the floor check. Let's put this guy in. Maybe he can give us a little more defensively. But really, you know, you brought up mistakes. You know, every player made a bunch of mistakes. And if you had a mistake-free hockey game, it would be 0-0 and nothing would happen. And it would be boring as heck, you know. So all these mistakes are everywhere. And you just hope your mistake doesn't cost the team. And that's what happened last night, is a couple mistakes cost the Preds a win. But if you look at the whole entirety of their work throughout the day, they did so many things well. I felt like they carried the play for most of that game, and they just weren't rewarded for it. So there's going to be tweaks. You got to do something different because you didn't win the game, but you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I keep saying that, but some, you got to change something. You just got to figure out what it is, and that's the hard part for John Hines. Does he make a personnel change? You have two goalies that are great. Do you change that up? You have defensemen that aren't in the lineup. Should they be in the lineup? Does that make a difference? I thought all the defensemen played well. So maybe you keep them as is and you have confidence that the team is going to go out there and win the way they probably should have yesterday. So a lot to consider. There's a lot of answers, but we don't know what those answers are yet, and we'll find out. That's the fun part. We'll find out on Friday.
Hal, last thing for you here. You know, obviously we spent a lot of time talking about that top line heading into the series and how we need to see more from Johansson and what's Arvidsson going to look like now that he's healthy again. If I were to have told you that through three games that top line would have played as well as it has so far, and yet the Predators are still down 2-1 in the series, what would your reaction be?
Yeah, that's, you know what, it's a good point, because I talked about this before the series started, is the top six need to shine, and right now you have the top three are shining. Johansson, I thought, was spectacular. He made some nice moves. Combination of his size and his stick handling and the way he was moving the puck. Forsberg all over the ice, getting a ton of looks and shots. Arvidsson coming down the wing, showing some signs of that speed burst that we know and love. I really think they all did their part. Now you need that second line, that second wave to come around and give a little more push. We've seen signs of Duchesne coming out. It hasn't been consistent. He needs to be, you see one or two plays. I need to see five or six wows from Duchesne, not just one or two. Turris had the goal that was called back. That was a sign that he's getting around there the way he can play. He fought some good battles and got puck possession at times. I think Granlund is always playing a hard game. You just need that line to step up a little bit, and then it carries through. Then you have four lines going. I think everyone's doing their job, and that's when you win. You need everyone to step up. So I really like the Jofa line. I think everyone needs to kind of follow suit and keep going. That second line, if they can give you a little more, if they can contribute with a goal like they almost did, we're looking at a different series.
Yeah, did you think they were better from from the first two to the third game, Hal, that second line?
Yeah, the first game, they really didn't do much. I was disappointed. I thought they had a lot more to give. The second game, they had an offensive zone stretch where they were buzzing, a lot of movement. And that's the big thing for me. If you see that line moving, if you see Duchesne cutting back and forth behind the goal line and working in the corners, and you see Turris getting through the slot and picking up pucks and hounding pucks and keeping that offensive zone pressure going, and you see Granlund grinding in the crease and buzzing around the net, that's when that line is so effective. They got to keep their feet moving, and they did that for spurts. I thought in game three they did more of it. It's just got to be consistent. If they can do that consistently and be a threat the way that the Jofa line was almost every shift, that's so tough to defend against. And Coyotes, as much as they play rope-a-dope, they're just going to get exhausted. I thought they were getting tired. They were wearing them down. But you got to keep the throttle on, and that's where you need at least two lines going. And I think the Preds are close to it. They just need to up it another notch.
Hal Gill has been our guest here on Morning Drive, brought to you every week by Dunkin' Donuts. Hal, great stuff, my man. Thanks for joining us as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Hey, this is going to be a good game. Let's get Smashville turned up for it.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. We'll come back, wrap up the show, look ahead to Game 4. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.